I don't know about you, but when I am weak, he is strong. Kind of goes with that together. So I really like this song. I said I was going to sing it. I didn't. Like I said, you're very welcome. But that's the question I have from time to time. Life is hectic. Life is crazy. Life is not easy, nor should it be. He never promised that it would be. But I get those doubts every once in a while. How does he think of me? Does he love me? Does he not love me? I just don't know. So tonight, I hope this is going to bless you as much as it blesses me. This is kind of a sermon that speaks to myself. A couple of months ago, a word was spoken to me that God has me in a pit. Don't think weird. A pit with just him and me. And he wants to get face to face with me. He wants to be that intimate. He wants me to look into his eyes and to him into my eyes. And so that's kind of what this lesson is tonight. It's kind of exploring that, okay, I'm getting in this place where I finally get in my heart and in my mind how God feels about me. So as I prepared for this lesson, I started thinking, okay, how do I know if someone likes me or how they feel about me? What are some of the key things that I look at? Typically, it's what people say, right? Yeah. The Bible says the tongue has the ability to bring death and life to things. Well, I listen to what people say and what they say about me. I take that, okay, that's how they feel about me. Don't tell me how you feel about me right now. Okay. This is recorded. I'm just playing. So we know this. We also with our actions, right? Love is not something that you just possess. It's not something. It's something you do. When you tell someone or you say one thing, that's one thing. But your actions speak louder than your words, right? So when I go do things, it's just as or more powerful telling a person how I feel about them. My actions. Now, that's not just with people. I don't just understand, okay, well, how does this person feel about me? Well, you know, they took their trash from lunch and left it on my desk today. I know how that person feels about me. But it's also with God. What do I do for him that shows how much I love him? Are my actions speaking louder than the prayers that I pray? Because it's not just with people, it's also with God. Do I show him my love with my actions? But the biggest thing, or another thing, is the third thing I thought about is the countenance on your face or your facial expressions. These are huge. What, like, that, yeah, that face right there. You see, he changed it real fast. He's like, ha-ha, he's looking at me. You changed your face because I got you. He's like, what did he just say? For those who know me, I wear my emotions and how I'm feeling on my sleeve, or in other words, if you want to know how Aaron's feeling, you look right here. You know right here. My face says it all. I've been told by my lovely bride, look, if you could see your face right now. I know what you're saying to me, but your face is saying something completely different. It's contradicting what you're saying, which... she's right. I'm not going to tell you she's not right. I'm going to try to defend myself for just a second. There are times when I'm literally trying to put that puzzle piece together. And when you're deep in thought and you're just trying to figure it out, you just have this front. I'm not talking. I'm not even bobbing my head. I'm just doing this to get. I'm just. Why are you mad? I'm not mad. I'm good. I'm trying to figure this out. So, but my face says that I'm angry. Is everything okay? Everything's fine. My face doesn't know. I'm just deep in thought. So we all agree our faces talk, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course they do. You ever heard the phrase, if you're happy, you should tell your face? Hey, you're happy? You should tell your face. I don't know. Or how about growing up? Have you ever heard this one? Wipe that look off your face before I... What was it? No, no, it's okay. Something for you. He said for you. I was like, before I slap it off your face or kiss it off your face or hug it up, whatever your family did. I know what my family did. Me, you know me, I'm a smart aleck. What face? What look? That's just how my face is. Don't look at me like that. I'm not looking at you anyway. That's how my face is. I mean, seriously, there must be something in the air like allergies, something, because I wasn't even rolling my eyes at you. Just something in my eye. I wasn't rolling my eyes at all. You'll never rolled your eyes, right? I stopped doing that because they stopped rolling when my mom hit me in the back of my head. Or guys, ladies love to do this one. Does this make me look fat? That's a trap. Gentlemen, it's a trap. All right? If you're like me and your face says stuff, when that question is asked you, let me bless you for a second. I'm gonna bless you. This is what you need to do. Whatever it is, you gotta find something, a piece of paper, your phone. I grab my iPhone. Does this make me look fat? And I grab my phone and be like, oh, babe, you look good. I was just reading on ESPN and this team made a horrible trade. I mean, this is horrible. But no, you look great, baby. You don't look fat at all. I'm just teasing. I don't do that. But I was trying to help you out. I was trying to bless you. If your lady says, does this make me look fat? And you don't know how to control your face. I prayed about it. That's what my new thing is. How does this make me look? Oh, you look great. Oh my. What? Oh, no. You just don't want to. I can't read this article out loud. It's just wrong. That's what it is. Now, did you know that 85% of communication is nonverbal? That's on the top of your notes. 85% of what you're saying has nothing to do with what you said or even how you said it. How many times you get, I don't like the tone in your voice? A lot. That's a teenager right there, just so you know, but it probably is the tone of your voice. It's 85% is not even that. It's not what you say, which is important. It's not how you say it, which is very important. It's also nonverbal cues. So, when my lovely wife says, did you love that meal? When I have the plate clean, I 85% non-verbally told her I loved it. I can't put into words a clean plate. Non-verbally, I loved it. So, when did we learn this? If 85% of communication is non-verbal, that means it has to do with our countenance, our facial expressions. When did we learn this? When did we pick this up? What point did I start reading faces? Now, you'll be surprised when you actually did that. Now, I don't have any children of my own. I don't have any little babies. I told y'all a couple weeks ago, Dom became my son when he was 10, so I didn't have to poopy diapers. Thank you, Jesus. I just had to deal with teenage years. That's bad enough. But God is good all the time. Amen. So, I am the oldest in my family. Y'all have heard me say this many times. I am the oldest child, oldest sibling, oldest grandchild. So I've held all the babies. I've had enough baby experience in my life. I promise you. We've been at Easter. This Easter was less than last year, but last year we got all together and took a big family photo. And there was probably cousins, all the cousins were together. Man, there was about 20 of us. And I wiped all their diapers because I'm the oldest. I know what it's like to be around a baby. And the reason why I bring that up is because that's when you learn facial cues. It's earlier than you think. It's not when you're 4 years old or 5 years old. It's when you're a baby. Now, since I've been around kids, like I said, all my cousins, all the grandkids, they all climb on me. They all jump over me since I was little. I was a giant play school. That's what apparently was tattooed on my forehead. So they would climb over me. But the worst are what? Infants, right? Would you agree? You ever try to take an infant to a restaurant? Yeah, it's kind of like this TV show. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, American Ninja Warrior. They're climbing things and they're hanging on things by their toes and they're making messes and splashes, and that's what it's like to have a baby at a restaurant, right? Is it just me? Someone say oh me or amen. Which one is it? She's like, it's cute, it's cute. It's not always cute. It's not always cute. Kids act up in restaurants, but babies most of all. Now, when you were little and you acted up, what would happen? Oh, this is how you want to act. This is how you want to act? No. Oh, you got that? No. See, my mom's a right now kind of lady. So you need to go to the bathroom. I just went. I don't need it. No, you need to go to the bathroom. You knew what that meant, right? And Lord, when they invented handicap ones, oh, I was so scared because now she could swing. She can swing in a handicap. You can't swing in those little stalls. It's just a little leverage. It didn't hurt that much. But handicap, she can go all at it. So you had to be good in public because that's, you know, you had to go to the bathroom. But babies, we don't do that. Now, if you've been to a restaurant with a baby, you know how it is when you've tried everything. Like you've given them drinks that they shouldn't drink. You've given them food. You've stuffed them. They're, you know, they can't even hold the food that you've given them. You've changed their diaper. You've done everything, and they're still crying. And you just, what am I going to do? I can't be a Christian out in public like this. I'm going to lose my countenance. No one's ever going to come to my church if I start yelling at my baby. What kind of thing? See, kid, you know, Child Protective Service is going to come take this kid. You just lose it. What do? You don't spank a baby. I mean, nowadays you don't spank a baby. Back then, that was a little different. But what do? You go outside. Little kids go to the bathroom, babies go outside. And what do when you go outside? Because you have to, because you can feel it right here. Like the laser beams, like of that screaming child. Like, how dare you bring your screaming child and disturb my meal? I'm paying good money. And you just feel that, right? It's that awkwardness of a screaming baby. I promise. I don't stare at them, but I just do the awkward. Do you hear this baby? Everyone hears the baby. They hear it from space. But you go outside to try to take care of a baby. Now, I get desperate. Like I said, I'm the oldest. I've talked to many babies in my life. I've gone outside many times with little ones. And this is what I do. I'm the talker. Y'all know. Obviously, I'm the talker. And nothing's worked. Everything I've tried, everything, nothing works. And I'll go outside, and I've done this with all of them, even little London. When I had London by myself for a little bit when they went to the grocery store, or I don't know what it was, but you just start talking to them, just like just, I don't know what this is, but just tell me what's wrong. You know, like, they're going to answer. Like, no, tell me what's wrong. You tell me what's wrong. And then they stop for a second. And then they start crying again because they're like, I'm asking you a question. It's so rude of you just to keep crying in my face. But I'm the talker. Or, you know me, I'm a preacher. I get very spiritual. You shall not whine in the name of... I've done that. Especially, oh, I had to get London a nap. She's crying. She's tired. She needs to take a nap. And this is my niece. And I took her. And there was no monitors. I looked around. And I was just kind of like, okay. Peace, be still. Come on, I can do that, right? Peace, be still. Like she was a raging storm of crying this, and I'm like, the tears are flowing, like the rage. You know I need to sleep right now. Like, come on. I can just say, peace, be still. You ever try to do that? I promise you, I've really done that. When nothing works, you start talking to a baby. I can't tell you how many times that. But research has shown. Now, you may say, Aaron, that makes no sense. Why would you talk to a baby? Right? Y'all think I'm crazy talking to a baby?
No.
I got a yes. Anybody else? It's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Am I crazy for talking to a baby?
No.
Uh-huh. See, they know. I got it right here in my back pocket. Research shows that at 3 and 4 months old, babies, infants start to recognize their parents' facial expressions. At 3 to 4 months old. So when you're talking to them, they do know what you're saying. They understand. 85% of communication is nonverbal. They know when you're mad at them. They know when you're sad. They can see it on your face at 3 months old. At 5 months, they can recognize facial expressions of strangers. So when I held London and I said, peace be still, or tell me what's wrong, she's like, yeah, I know. I'm not going to tell you. I can't speak, but she still understood. At 7 to 9 months, they can pick up facial expressions that dogs make. Now, you're going to have to wait a second there. I don't know why they researched this. This is not a huge leap. But if a baby's there and a dog starts showing your teeth, a baby should know at 9 months what's about to happen. You don't mess with that dog that's showing their teeth. They're growling. They're not smiling. Dogs don't do that. They lick when they're happy. So if you think, well, my kid knows that you're not special, their baby's not special, so. Oh, they know when a dog's about to bite them. They better know when a dog's about to bite them. So before we learn how to talk, before we learn how to walk, we learn to read and understand facial expressions. This is so important. I mean, guys, you've been doing this since you were 3 months old. You don't think about it, but realize that. You've been looking at people's facial expressions and understanding since you were 3 months old. And where do we learn most of our facial expressions from? From whom?
Mama.
Your parents. Mama. See, he was like, Mama. I could go through a laundry list of Mama's facial expressions, right? Mom's got a lot of them, right? Perturbed, upset, happy, disappointed. The look, like, there's a look like, you heard me, and there's a look like, you gonna die. And it's not that much difference, but you can read the look and be like, is that a, I'm mad at you, or is that a you gonna die look? They're close.
I'll wait a week.
I'm gonna stop talking. No, moms, y'all don't do that? Y'all, but see, y'all add sound effects. Y'all ever be afraid of that movie? What's that movie called, Jaws? Yeah, then you know you're in trouble. You're like, that shark's about to bite me. No, that's Mama, run! That's just the way it is. Now, dads are a little different. Dads usually, now there are most dads, they're calm. And they might get a little annoyed, and then they go to straight gorilla mode, right? It's from I'm fine to Mom's bugged me now, and I got to get involved, and now all I have is gorilla. Like, all right, how many times has she told you to go brush your teeth? So, boy, you have two choices. You can walk to that bathroom, or you can fly. Because that's the way dads do it. They're a little different than Mom, but you kind of know when Dad's about to throw me across the house. Now, as funny as that is, how many of you have ever wondered, well, how does my Heavenly Father look at me? Does he look at me like that? Does he look at me like I'm a little kid and he's mad or disappointed that I'm acting out in public and he's just upset with me? I don't know about you, but there are times that I've felt that way. Is that how God sees me? Is that how he's looking at me right now? I mean, he notices everything. So how is he looking at me, though? I want to know. How will I know how he's looking at me? Well, I promise you, you're not the only person to feel this way. Moses did the same thing. Now, I get Moses, and we're going to read a scripture here in a second of what he did, but you got to understand what he went through. He figured out he was a Hebrew after being a prince of Egypt. Okay, God, there's something there. Then he leaves Egypt. Now, he was in the desert for how long? Does anybody remember? 40 years. That's right. Exactly. Man, I love this class. They know their word. 40 years after being, so he's grown up. He found out who he was. He's left Egypt 40 years later of goat herding. Then God says, go free my people. So he's walked back to Egypt. He's done all these amazing things. God has told him, go do this. Despite saying, I need Aaron to do it, God has used Moses through this whole process. And now they're finally free. We're not going over all the plagues, but can you imagine going through all that, getting to the mountain, getting right there? God's, all right, everyone stay here. I got to go up and see God. We're finally freed from Egypt. And he's giving me instructions. And then Moses says, you know what? I want to see your face. I want to look at your face. So it's in your scripture. On your notes. He's on the mountain. God's giving him instructions, and he says, then show me your glorious presence. The New King James Version says, please show me your glory. He asks, okay, can I see your face? I want to know what you look like. I want to know how you, when you look at me, what you're thinking. You're talking to me. I can hear you. But how do you look at me? And then the Lord replies to him, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will call out my name Yahweh before you. I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see my face or may see me and live. So this is what he said, and the Lord continued, look, stand near this rock, and my glorious presence passes by you, and I will hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face you will not see. So you got to understand this. He's finally had the audacity after all the things he's been through. I mean, it's been decades. It's been a long time. It's been a bumpy road. He goes to God, show me your face. And God's like, oh, he kind of, I just feel that God's like, he kind of deserves it, but he can't get to see my face. So this is what I'm going to do. All right, Moses, you see this little cleft in this rock? I want you to get down low. I want you to get down low. Now, like a child of the king, children, we're curious, right? My glorious presence is going to pass by. Okay, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. I'm going to do this. Huh? No, I'm down. God knows that. So God says, I will cover your face. So he's like, I just want to see, I just want to see. And he goes by and he covers his face because he wants to see, and he sees the backside of him. But look at the position he's in. He is down and low, and God tells him, you're not worthy to see my face. Crouch down. And a lot of us see this scripture, and we've read a couple of scriptures throughout your life. If you've ever been to church, you've ever read the Bible, you've ever heard stories, we get this in our head that God is the God of the Old Testament, and we have to be like Moses. We're not worthy to see God's face. We're not worthy. We have to be bowed down and humbled. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't humble yourself, but we have this feeling that we can't see his face. In the Old Testament, the scripture was, when you read about it, the face of God was kind of like favor or not. If God was happy with you, his face would shine upon you. You would read that in scripture. If God was mad, there were times when the children of Israel would be disobedient, and the word would say that God turned his face away from Israel. So we read these scriptures and we get this idea, okay, well, this is how God is because he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Well, if this is how he was yesterday, that's how he's got to be today. If he's happy with me, his face is going to shine upon me. If he's mad at me, he's going to look away. And so we get this in our mind, and this is how we live our life. And I kind of describe it like this. It's springtime, right? Flowers are blooming. We watched the Masters this weekend. They had some amazing flowers up there in Georgia. And I'm still happy to live in Texas because they have cold winters to have those pretty flowers. But I don't know if you were like me. I'm a helpless romantic. But did you ever, when you had a crush on somebody, go and grab a flower and pick it and go, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. I know, ladies, have y'all ever done that? Yeah? And many of us do the same thing with God. We have this mentality of, okay, well, today he loves me. It's church Sunday. He loves me. Yes, God loves me. But tomorrow, I promise my friends, we go to the bar for his birthday. And it's that bar. And it's those kind of, he loves me not. We have this mentality of, okay, today God's face is going to shine upon me. Oh, today God's not going to be happy with me. He's gonna look at me weird because he's not going to do that. And that's how we live our lives. Does he love me or he loves me not? That should be in your notes. But you see, God gave us a promise. He gave us a promise with the prophet Isaiah. I know, Moses, this is how you lived. I know the Old Testament, that was the word. If God's face shined on you, it was good. If he turned his face away, it was bad. And you've got this in your head, but there's something that's coming, something that's new. I know I gave you the law, but you couldn't live up to it. So I'm going to create a new covenant. I'm going to create a covenant that has to do with relationship. I'm going to create a covenant of kindness. I want to get closer to you is what God is saying. He tells us in Isaiah that who do we get? We get Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The expressed image of the invisible God is shown to us. And now we get to get a face-to-face encounter with how God looks upon us. Now, I can go through a lot of different scriptures and a lot of different stories that we could be here all night on, and a great example of how God looks upon us. This is a story that you've heard many times. In fact, you've probably heard it so many times, you're like, I can't believe I'm going to hear this story again. So, it is the woman with the issue of blood. Oh, where did she go? There she is. I just have to do this picture and you already know the story. See, she got it. I told you. You get it right there. I love it. I was right. Mark that. I was right. Yeah. The time is. I just want it on record. It rarely happens. I'm sorry. Now, Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. Jairus is the leader of a synagogue, and his daughter is deathly ill. She's so sick. And there is a crowd of people everywhere. And if you've heard this story, you already know where I'm going with this. If you haven't, strap in. It's fun. So they're going, and Jesus is walking, and there's a bunch of people, and he is pushing through a crowd, and the disciples are trying to make a room around him, but you just can't. People just want to touch him. I've heard so many things. He's done so many things. I mean, God has been working amazing miracles. Jesus has been doing so much. They just want to get close to him. And this woman comes and touches the hem of his garment. This is what Scripture says. It's also in your notes if you want to follow along. Now, a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, she had an issue of blood. She was basically bleeding all the time and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had gone to every doctor she knew. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Scripture says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt it in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Like that. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thrown among you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." An amazing moment. It's a moment, but this moment is so big that it's in Scripture. If we talk it out, it probably happened just as fast as I just said it. You're in a crowd, someone touches me. "Hey, who touched me?" That's that fast. That's how fast it happened. But Jesus stops because of her faith. He's wanting to teach her something. He's wanting us to learn something tonight. See, God knows when you mix your faith with your actions. She said, I know this in my heart that he can heal me. If I just touch his clothes, I don't even have to talk to him. I don't even have to pray to him. If I just touch his clothes. And he stops instantly. But here's the thing. He wants something more for her. I'd be happy with the being healed. If I had an issue of blood for 12 long years and I spent all my money and I had no hope left and I was immediately healed, I'd be good to go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Keep going. I don't need anything else. But he stops for a moment because he wants her to see something else, and he wants us to see something else. He wants you and her to have more than just touch of your hem blessings. God's got something more than just come to me when you need something and I'll heal you. It's an amazing, we pray for it. We want to see it. I want someone to come to church and I have an expectancy that they're going to come and immediately they're going to be healed. And it was like they just touched his hem of the garment and it's completely gone. I don't care what it was. We want to see that. But God says, wait, I got something a little bit more for you. I know your whole life you've lived in fear of God. I know you're afraid of him. I know you have no idea how he looks at you, but I want you to see me. So what does he do? He stops what he's doing. He could have just kept walking. He could have never said anything to anybody. I mean, think about it. What did Peter do? He walked and his shadow healed everybody, right? Did he go back and talk to all those people? He just kept going. I'm going to keep blessing people. Jesus is working through me. Jesus could have done the same thing. I knew that was going to happen. He knew that was going to happen. Wait a second. Look at the position she's in. Look at what she's doing. She is down on her knees, the Bible says. She is in fear. Does that remind you of any position we just talked about? She's like this. It's just like Moses. I know you've been reading Scripture. I know you know Scripture, but he stops for a second and says, I want to teach you something. He doesn't say the words, but he has a new covenant. It's a covenant of kindness. He goes to her and he uses this family term. He says, daughter. Daughter. If we're children of the King, he sees you as his son and his daughter. He loves you. He wants you to get an idea I know you're in fear. I mean, she had no right to be there. She was breaking the law. She was unclean. She wasn't allowed to be there. She had to be on the outside. You can't be in all these people. So what did she do? She did the right thing in her mind. Well, I fear God, and I fear the law, and I fear this crowd. I have to get down because someone's going to recognize me. And he says, wait a second. She was already healed. Already healed. She could have just walked away, but she stops. And he says, daughter, I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He didn't say that, but I could feel it. Daughter, you're my daughter. Matthew says, he says, daughter, be of good cheer. Now, if you think of a parent, do you ever hear a parent say, be of good cheer? Get over here, be of good cheer. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say it with anger. He says it with love, with excitement. Daughter, be of good cheer. I want you to get something you've never done before. I want you to see. He gets right up into it. Stand up. Don't be afraid. Look into my eyes. You get to see the face of God, and it's a covenant of kindness. Jesus wants us to stop seeing him as an angry God, as a God who's sitting on his throne ready to strike us down. God wants you to know that he's not mad at you. He's mad about you. God is so mad about you. He wants to get in your face and be in relationship with you. And he wants that face-to-face contact. He wants you to know he doesn't see you like a little child acting up. Even when you make mistakes now. God, I made a mistake today. I mean, I'm still 37. I'm going to be 38 in a couple of weeks, but I'm just 37. Maybe you're mad at me. Maybe you don't want, I don't want to look at your face. But God has a covenant of kindness. And I totally skipped the scripture. It was on your notes. Good thing it was in your notes because I was supposed to have it on the screen. So let me ask you a question. Does God love you right now? Don't think about any other moment, but right now, if you could raise your hand, do you feel God loves me? All right, if you can feel that right now, then I can guarantee you that he loves you always. And I'm going to explain it right now. The Bible says he's what? He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. In the other words, he knows your mess ups before your mess ups. Jesus knows your, he knew how you were going to mess up before you messed up, but he has a face that he wants to shine upon you. I know you're thinking Old Testament. I know you're thinking he's mad at you. I know you're thinking like your earthly or mother and father, but your heavenly father is a little different. He even tried to do this with Moses. He did this. We read this scripture every Sunday here at Impact, right? Someone comes up and reads the scripture. They bless us. And every week we hear a version of this. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so shall they put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Even in that Old Testament, even when Moses couldn't see his face, God told him, tell them that my face shines upon them, that my countenance, the way I look at you, is to give you peace. I want you to understand that God's never going to approve of your sin. God's not going to see you in the middle of your sin and be like, hey, that's good job, man. That's not what this is about. That's not what this scripture's about. That's not what this lesson's about. This lesson's about you getting to understand of how God really looks at you. His face shines upon you. He loves you so much. He wants to draw you closer to him. That's why there's grace. That's why we have the resurrection. That's why he wants to be the puzzle piece in your heart, the main piece, because he wants to be in relationship with you. You're not perfect, but God's not about your perfection. He's about the process. He's about the process. He's about the journey. It's not the destination. It's how you get there that you learn. And so Jesus wants us to know how he's looking at us today. If you're going to be a child of the King, I don't want you to be afraid of grace. I don't think anybody is. I don't want you to be afraid to have God in your heart, but I also don't want you to walk around thinking, well, today he's not happy with me. No, he has a new covenant, a covenant of kindness. And if we can get that in our heart, then it's easy to be a child of the King. I don't have to live in fear. Well, if I'm going to go do this, is he going to approve? Or is he going to look at me like I'm a four-year-old, like I can't believe you made that mess? No. If you go try to do something and you fail, does he get mad at you? Peter, you fell in the water. Oh, you have little faith. You almost had it. Did he say it angrily or did he say it happily? You were so, you little faith, you were walking on water. I wonder if Peter looked at him, and I wonder if you and I look at him and be like, I messed up, God, why are you looking so? I don't think Jesus was mad at Peter when he slipped in the water and called his name. So my prayer, my hope, is that as simple as this lesson is, I hope you got it. I hope I preached it right. I don't know that I did. I want to get it out, but that you know. How will I know how he looks at me? You know how he looks at you. He loves you. His face shines upon you. He wants peace for you and relationship with you. So do me a favor. Let's close our eyes just for a moment. I don't want you to worry about the person next to you. I don't want you to worry about the time. I don't want you to worry about the music. I don't want you to worry about your notes. I want you to imagine with me like a little kid would, like a child of the King. Imagine with me and close your eyes on whatever you think he looks like. The face you've been wanting to see. The face of Jesus. With your eyes closed, can you see him? I can see him. That love in his eyes. It draws you in, and you feel peace, and you know it. And this is right where you want to be. He's got a mouth that's open and ready to have a conversation with you. His mouth is open just a little bit. It looks like he's ready and wanting to run to you like a long-lost friend. And on the tip of his tongue is the words, I love you so much. And I can see that smile that says it all. A smile on his face, it's so big. His mouth is open, he's ready to say, I love you. But his arms are also so open wide, it makes me want to raise my arms. It makes me want to embrace him and be in relationship with him and to wrap my arms around him. And if you have that image in your head, that's how he always feels about you. I don't want you to doubt. I don't want you to worry. I want you to feel that moment. And no, I'm a child of the King, and this is how my Heavenly Father looks at me. He loves you. Peace upon you. Now, Lord, I'm going to pray. Jesus, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this simple but powerful lesson. I pray that every person has a vision in their mind, in their heart, of what you look like to them, how you look at them. And it's not a covenant of anger. It's not disappointment, it's not rejection, but it's a covenant of kindness that I can go to you and you're always ready and you're always there. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now you know. If you got it in your heart, you got it in your mind, I love it. I love it. I know how it feels about me. So guys, the next 2 weeks, the next 3 weeks, we got three more weeks. Next week's going to be a little fun. We're going to talk about being creative. I'm going to have a little gift for everyone that shows up. So hopefully you're all here. You're going to look at me like you're crazy, but you'll get it. Week 5, I love week 5 for two reasons. One, I love the lesson because it's week 5 and week 6 are together, but also week 5 is my birthday. So I think, is it okay? Maybe we have some cupcakes after class downstairs in the lobby. Yeah. My son is like, Glory! Cupcakes! Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have some cupcakes afterwards. You are welcome to stay in 2 weeks. I'll remind you next week. We'll get some cupcakes. We'll celebrate my birthday because it's the one thing I've always wanted to do on my birthday is preach. And I'll be happy to speak a word. And hopefully it blesses you.
Is it on that day?
It's on that day, son. Wow. That day, my friend. April 24th is in 2 weeks. That's your daughter's birthday? Oh. So, guys, I love you. I thank you so much for coming. You have a blessed week. I'll see you for week 4 of Child of the King.
That's that one you ate, right?
You're welcome.